Welcome to UN Focus, Students and Scholars, connecting university research and contemporary issues.
Given the recent historical election, the minds of the electorate, including university students, have been on the president. Questions of whether and how the executive branch of government really affects our lives pervade society, and the emotional stake that many people have in the federal government, consciously or subconsciously, is very real. The executive and legislative branches tend to get the most attention, seeing as we elect them and they are so easily held accountable to the people. On the other hand, the judiciary, being an appointed branch whose members serve life terms, is often left at the sidelines, if not entirely out of the equation. It raises an interesting question. Do nine justices really impact students' lives? Should we pay attention to the work of the Supreme Court? The Supreme Court is a valuable resource that students can use to educate themselves on the issues. We should be paying attention to the Supreme Court as well as the acts of the President and the laws passed by Congress. Professor Timothy Johnson of the Department of Political Science here at the University of Minnesota has spent his career studying these issues.
Whether it's our free speech rights or our freedom of association rights or our rights to make sure the police don't unreasonably search our homes, those decisions, whichever way they go on the court, affect our lives, and they affect our lives as students, as teachers, as just citizens of the United States. And so, yeah, I do think students need to pay attention because the decisions affect them now, but they also affect our futures.
A divisive issue in today's politics and throughout history is the use of money. Money is a very sore subject for many people. We like it and we do not want to give it to people or organizations that we don't support. We have seen this clearly in the debate surrounding the recent financial bailout, and the allocation of funds happens all the time on a much more local level, within our own universities. Every semester, students are charged a collection of fees. A few are optional, but most are mandatory. Thanks to Southworth versus the Board of Regents of the University of Wisconsin, universities can use these funds however they see fit. In this case, the Supreme Court ruled that when you, as a student, pay your fees, that money is no longer considered yours in any respect. How did the justices come to this conclusion? You attend the university, and you expect that the fees you pay go towards your own personal educational interests. Well, it's not as simple as that, according to Professor Johnson.
The university, in spending those monies, that is, giving it out to all these groups, doesn't discriminate based on what people say. What that group has to say, then it can decide however it wants to hand out that money. That is, the university or the state in this sense, in a more general sense, can't say we give money to this group because we like what they have to say and we don't give money to this group because we don't like it. If you're a student group, you simply get whatever the cutoff line is for getting these student fees to help fund them. I mean, we know from Holmes and from Brandeis and others that it's much better to have everything out in the marketplace. You know what information you don't like, you know what information you do like. Everyone gets to espouse their views and then you get to make your decision. And I think that's sort of where the court came down in this case. That is, let everyone have their say and then let everyone decide from there.
University-sponsored groups aren't the only ones causing debate. People have also protested the rights of certain outside groups, like military recruiters, to have a presence on campus. In 2004, the Forum for Academic and Institutional Rights challenged the constitutionality of military recruiting within a law school. The court ruled that as long as a school is receiving federal funding, they must give recruiting access to government organizations, including the military. Some people would question whether this ruling was in some way ideologically motivated, but Professor Johnson gives some insight into the court's decision from both sides of the issue.
The ideologically conservative argument is the court is forcing law schools to let recruiters from the four branches of the armed services recruit. On the other hand, you can make an argument that this was a liberal decision. That is, the court is simply saying, let everybody who wants to recruit, recruit. We don't care if they're from the Army, from the Navy, from the U.S. government, from the biggest law firm here in Minneapolis, whatever. Everyone gets an open chance to decide. Freedom of speech is freedom of speech, and you cannot pick or choose who you want to recruit and who you can't. You don't have to like that they're going to be there. You don't have to promote that they're going to be there, but you at least have to allow them to be there. You could very well, if you're a student group, want to set up a table next to them that has a big sign that says, don't go in the military. Don't sign up for the JAG Corps. That's perfectly legitimate, according to what the court says.
Students' rights are an important concern, one that should not be ignored. We owe it to ourselves to be aware of the decisions made by the highest court in the land. As Professor Johnson has illustrated, the justices have worked and continue to work to protect our constitutional rights.
Thanks for listening to You in Focus.